Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and this is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy hoy, how are we?
Not bad, how are you?
Yes, very good. I feel like we need to find a way of starting this podcast that isn't exactly the same every week, because I reckon we could cut and paste, you know, last week's intro.
Sure.
And it would be exactly that, literally exactly that.
I'm in my comfort zone though, Dave.
I know. It's nice to know how you are. Yeah. And then I presume it's nice for you to know how I am. So that's fine, eh?
One time I'll be like, Dave, I'm having a shit day. Everything's going awful. This is the darkest day of my life. And you won't know how to deal with it.
No, I will. I'll do exactly the same as I'll do now, which is, should we meet today's guests? Yeah. Shall we meet today's friend, Pete?
Yes, let's.
Today on Friends with Friends, we have the excellent comedian and impressionist, and of course, most importantly, friend. It's Luke Kempner. Hi, Luke Kempner.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
It's nice when people are excited, isn't it, Pete?
It is nice, yeah. Some enthusiasm is always welcome.
When I met you at the door just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And your first gambit was like, oh, it was nice to watch Friends again.
I know.
So is it, I presume you haven't really delved much into it in the last few years?
Not for a little while. It used to be sort of a Sunday hungover a university thing.
Right.
Because it was on E4.
Yeah.
And then you'd watch it and then you'd watch Plus One and watch the same two episodes again. that's the last time I really got into it, but it's all on Netflix. So I downloaded an episode episode that we're going to talk about, and I watched it and it's great.
Download it on your iPad.
They should make some
on
more.
Your phone, yeah.
It's great stuff. They're really onto something there.
Yeah, it's a good format, isn't it?
It's really working.
A good little formula.
You never know, they might go into movies. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's nice to have someone of, how old are you, Luke? Sorry, this is very intrusive on this podcast.
31.
31, fine. Yeah, so I'm 32. So Okay. We're a similar age.
Yeah.
Pete, you're what, 26, 27?
27.
Screw you, Pete.
Yeah, too young.
Sorry.
No, it's nice because a lot of our guests are more Pete's age. And I feel quite old because...
But we're still young.
Well, we are, but... You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
We remember it being on telly.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys don't, really.
Really?
Pete never really watched it on the telly when it was on.
That's not making me appreciate that. That's making me feel worse.
I don't remember it sort of being on telly for the first time. I just remember that E4 era that you just mentioned where you sort of sit and watch them habitually. Like that's the Friends era I remember.
Pete, do you even know the art of the Plus One? Do you even know? Do you even know what that's for?
No, I'm still learning.
Do they even have that anymore?
E4 Plus One?
Just Plus One in general?
Yeah, a couple of channels do. Channel 4 have it.
Like ITV have it, don't they?
Oh, yeah, because ITV 2 Plus One is the most confusing channel on television.
Yeah. It's like Countdown.
Yeah, exactly. They do, but it's mainly Channel 4 and E4, isn't it? They're still really rolling with the Plus Ones.
What's it on telly on now?
Comedy Central now, isn't it?
Now, it's on Comedy Central and also Channel 5
as of
the last, month. Yeah.
It's a good purchase.
It is a good purchase, isn't it? It's a good acquisition.
Yeah, there must be like a guarantee that you're always going to get X amount of people watching it.
Yeah, well, they make, the actors make about $1 million a year still just from the royalties from people watching Friends.
Oh, hi, it's Dave here at a later date. I realised I got the number all wrong there. It's actually $20 million a year that they make in royalties, approximately, not $1 million. But luckily, I'm a skilled audio editor, so I'll just fix this now. Here it is again, as if it had never happened.
Yeah, well, they make, the actors make about
$20 million
a year still just from the royalties from people watching Friends.
Insane. I go through a very similar thing with the Les Mis 25th anniversary album. it's a very similar amount. And I'm happy to take you all out for dinner after this.
Oh, are you on the anniversary album?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah, you Marius-ing?
No, if only I was Marius. Gareth Gates is Marius-ing.
Is he?
No, I'm playing Pimp. And I'm playing Montparnasse.
Oh, great.
So you'll hear me go, "This is his lair, I've seen the old fox around." It's me.
I'm going to listen back to that.
Yeah, you'll also hear me go, "Shut up."
Oh, great. Are they your two lines or you got more?
I've got quite a few little bits. You know, it's like things like, "You'll have to go, I'll pay you off for the day. Collect your little pieces then and be on your way." That sort of thing.
Do you know what? If we were doing a bloody Les Mis podcast, Pete, we'd have so much to talk
Beyond
about.
Beyond the barricades.
So, Luca, were you in any episodes of Friends?
No, but I've worked with Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, I'm down. We're back in. We're straight back in.
What have you worked with him on?
On episodes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So I did I had a whole scene with me and Matt. Call him Matt. And MLC sometimes, but no, MLB.
MLB?
No wonder he got annoyed with me.
Major League Baseball.
I was calling him Mel C. But like, I'm in a scene where I play a TV writer and I pitch him a load of rubbish ideas in a cafe. And he's not really listening, and then he is listening. And then it was good fun. It was really lovely. I spent like 6 hours with him. His attention to detail is impressive.
Is it?
But he's what's great is that he so clearly knows comedy and knows sketch comedy and knows how it works.
Right.
You know, he was like, "I don't think I did that right. Can we go from another angle? Is that okay? Look, you okay with that?" Like, it was really cool.
Okay.
And he was really good, like, because I was doing an American accent and stuff, and he was like going, he was being really nice, but then he was like, "When you're saying Florida..." He was like, "I think it was like, you need to add more of an R. It's more Florida instead of Florida or something like that." But he was like helping me in a really, he was like, "It's so good, but you could do this." And
but like in a like gentle, encouraging way.
Yeah, that is nice. He's lovely. Really nice.
And he's got a good work ethic.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Like he did about, I don't know, like 15 takes. Like, it was mad.
I'm very happy to hear he's a nice man. I think I would have found it lovely. Quite devastating otherwise.
Do you know the story about the guy that originally got offered the part of Joey? Do you know this story?
No.
So there was a guy that originally got offered the part of Joey, and he turned it down because he also got offered the part of Lister in the American remake of Red Dwarf. Didn't take Joey.
Good decision,
and
guys.
I don't know if you remember the American version of Red Dwarf, because if you do, you're the only one. So, you know, it's like that guy that didn't sign the Beatles.
Oh, my days. Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, that must be... We're laughing about it now, but every day that guy must be sad. Like, really sad.
I don't know much more than that part of it. It might be an urban myth, but I've heard that before.
Well, no, we'll take it.
It always seems to make sense.
Urban myths as facts on this show. Yeah. I think it's very unlikely that Friends was cast first time for every character. You know, like, there's always a couple of people that...
Exactly, it's like...
weren't cast, couldn't do it.
Gareth Gates got cast before me.
Yeah, well, exactly, mate. Know? And what a travesty.
Oh,
but when you listen to that album...
Furious.
And you hear the Montparnasse, you're just like, that's fine, guys. Yeah. Kempner's shining here.
Yeah. That's part of his made for him.
Yeah. Right, let's talk about your episode.
Okay.
First of all, what was your process for choosing? Did you just go, "That's it"? Because the one you've chosen, Pete and I were discussing on WhatsApp earlier, I'm surprised no one's chosen yet.
I know.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the most iconic moments in all of Friends.
It was the second one I went for, because the other one I wanted to do was Ross and his leather trousers.
Okay, which has already been done.
Then I was thinking, I might just say to Dave, "Can you send me a list of the ones that haven't been picked?" Because I was like, because I think the process, you think of a big bit in it.
Yeah.
And with this one, I picked... Pivot,
yeah,
as the thing I remember,
right,
been really funny, and so it's the one with the cop, is the name of the episode, and I didn't remember the cop bit at all. I remember was the pivot bit, and actually, he only says pivot 4 times, I think. Yeah, and it's like, how is that become such an iconic moment?
It's so mad, isn't it? And the thing I noticed about it, watching it back, we'll talk about this a bit more, is it's 17 minutes in. To a 22-minute episode before anyone says pivot.
It's mad.
So, like, you see, it's the last 5 minutes. There's just a bit.
And it's just and it's such one a scene. Small, it's
pivot,
such a small
pivot,
gag.
Yeah, I know.
I think I've said pivot like that during all sorts of sofa.
Right. Not even just sofa, mate. Just any sort of turning.
Any sort of lifting. Yeah. You know, so it was pivot that led me to the episode.
It's so strange. We have this quite a lot, don't we, Pete, where people remember like an iconic moment.
Yeah. We've identified a few episodes where the title of the episode is completely wrong, and this should absolutely be like the one with Ross's sofa would be much better in terms of recall.
This is what we've noticed. They always name the plot after usually the worst
Oh, really?
Or the second, you know, like, it's definitely not the most iconic, memorable bit.
Yeah.
Like the one with Ross's leather trousers. It's called, like, the one with the resolutions or something.
Yeah,
so it's
is.
Just like there's always something.
But the same season.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the one
yes.
that I watched, which I was quite surprised at.
Season 5.
Two big moments that I'd picked out was season 5.
It is a good season.
Mm.
All right, should we talk about the one with the cop then? Season 5, episode 16. Here's what happens if you haven't watched it recently. Phoebe finds a police badge at the coffee house and has fun pretending she's a cop until she pulls it on the owner, a cop named Gary, who later successfully asks her out for dinner. Meanwhile, Ross buys a new couch but refuses to pay the huge delivery fee. As a result, he and Rachel struggle to lift it up to his apartment, and Ross soon wishes he'd just paid the money. Brackets pivot, it should say there. And Joey thinks he's in love with Monica after having a romantic dream about her. Again, completely forgotten this bit.
Yeah.
However, Monica later reasons with him that's not the case, and Joey actually wants a serious relationship similar to Monica and Chandler's.
See, hearing all those, the one that I feel like has the most screen time is the whole Joey, Chandler, Monica thing. And yet when you read that, right. It sounds like the least significant part of them all.
And I never remembered that.
No.
What is good about it, though, is that I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we have all had dreams where you're in love with somebody yeah. and you wake up and you're like, I had one about Britney Spears once.
Right.
And I woke up going, I mean, I'm fully in love with Britney Spears. yeah. I had one about Kate Lawler.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's weird because she's more within our social circle.
I know.
Circle.
She's closer yeah, to Britney. Well, hey, you don't know. I might know Britney. I don't know Britney. Yeah. But like, but yeah.
Is Britney on that Lame Is album?
Yeah. She is. Yeah. She's second cover Fontaine. But like, I was convinced that I was in love with Kate Lawler. And I was like lying next to my wife going, I'm going to have to do something about this. I'm going to have to tell Alana that I'm now in love with Kate Lawler because I had a dream. But because it's like in the dream, it feels so real.
Right.
You know, I'm sticking up for Joey here.
Yeah. No, like,
it feels real. And then you've got to do something about it.
But crucially, did you confess your undying love for Kate Lawler to your wife?
No.
Right. So this is yeah. when this comes out.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Some trouble in the Kempner household.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the difference, isn't it? That's where Joey, I feel, because I think you do that. You wake up and it feels really real and you go, oh, that was just a dream.
And you
write it off.
But Joey's slightly remedial. So
and he's on the process of moving out of his apartment.
Yeah, I know.
Because he has this dream.
Yeah.
So let's start with the Joey, Monica, Chandler strange little triangle then, and we'll move on to Pivot and Cops in a bit.
Yeah.
This is the opening of the whole episode, isn't it? They're doing the crossword.
Yes.
Chandler and Monica are doing a crossword. And Joey walks in. First thing I spotted, did anyone notice what Joey was wearing?
Was it the leather coat?
No, it was a blue gilet.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're
Joey
right.
was wearing, there was one scene in which Joey was wearing a long black leather coat like Neo from The Matrix.
Yes.
And
that's when he walked into Central Perk.
Yeah.
The fashion of Friends, we talk about the fashion of Friends quite often because obviously... Right. Almost nothing that's worn in this show would ever be worn again.
Yeah.
But there is later on someone, I think Joey's wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah.
And I thought that.
They're back, mate. They're back.
They could really be on.
The turtleneck, but it's more roll necks back than turtleneck.
Right, that's
I'd
true,
say.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Because I'm rewatching, well, not as in rewatching, what, making sure I watch every episode of Seinfeld at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm into season 3 of that. And there's a lot of turtlenecks going on in there.
Yeah.
But they just look a little bit wrong.
Yeah. They look wrong on the wrong sort of people, don't they?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But also they're wearing them with like jeans tucked in and white trainers.
Yeah. It's all about the ensemble, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joey walks in full on bright blue gilet, which
amazing.
Is a bold fashion choice.
Yeah.
Because then he has a dream about Monica, and Monica, the reason I noticed it is because Monica's then wearing the gilet in the dream. There's a lot of strange
attention
to detail.
Oh yeah, she is, isn't she? I hadn't noticed that shape, but I think I clocked the gilet on Monica before I clocked it on, I didn't notice it on Joey. But yeah, it does look odd on her, because my thought with that was, why are you wearing so many layers when you're inside? Because she looks more than snug on Joey's lap.
Right. Well, my first thought was, because I did the same, I noticed the gilet on Monica and I was like, Joey's idea of a sexy dream about someone involves her wearing a blue gilet over a jumper. And that is...
It was hot.
Yeah, it was very hot.
What I found weird about it was that they didn't kiss on the lips.
No.
Which, if it's a dream...
A, it's a dream, but B, the actors. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like they were going, Monica and Chandler can kiss on the lips.
Yeah.
Because they're together.
Exactly. But I was like... Matt Perry and Courtney Cox weren't together.
No, I know. It's strange.
But it was weird that that wouldn't... But I wondered if in the moment they'd have gone, this would be weird if we started kissing.
Yeah, it's exactly my thought, because there's no reason why... Because they play out the exact same scene.
Yeah.
Like, and then she almost sort of beat for beat.
Snuggles into his neck.
Yeah, just gives him a little kiss on the cheek. It's so good.
But it's weird, because actually if they had a kiss on the lips, you'd have gone, ooh, that's weird.
Right. There must have been a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Or Matt LeBlanc's got terrible breath. Maybe you can help us with this. No?
What, yes. I've got terrible breath.
No, because you've met Matt LeBlanc.
He doesn't.
No,
he's got lovely breath.
We can rule that out.
Yeah. Well, then maybe he sorted it out since that day.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
The other thing about that, so they remake the dream sequence word for word, and in Joey's version, it's the crossword clue is three letters, not a dog. Not a dog or a cat. I can't remember which. It's the other one.
Yeah.
But here's the crucial thing: in the original version,
yeah.
It's a six-letter word for red. And Chandler goes, what about maroon? And Monica goes, you're so smart. Guys, that is not smart.
Well, I'll tell you what wasn't smart. I was thinking, Scarlet?
You've gone even one higher,
exactly.
Mate.
I'm Joey.
Yeah, I presumed that they'd gone, no, it's not maroon. That doesn't fit. Like, maroon is a basic colour palette,
it's not
it?
Red, is it?
It's brown.
Not, I mean, it's not, no. It's brown, yeah.
Yeah. We used to have a Renault that was maroon.
A maroon Renault.
Yeah.
Lovely.
There you go. Cool story, bro.
I honestly was there scraping my brain for follow-up questions.
Yeah. Like, okay.
I've got nothing.
There's not much to it, really. Then had a Vauxhall Vectra.
Okay.
There was purple.
Purple, great.
Yeah.
Just the purple or something?
I think my parents got cars that were cheaper because of the shit colours. See, we've got a little bit more out of that.
Yeah, that is good. So maroon, terrible colour. But I was enjoying the fact that they acted like Chandler had solved the most complicated cryptic crossword puzzle in the world.
They were quite cringe together.
Yeah.
I thought. The lovey-dovey was like, that didn't feel too real to me.
Yeah.
Chandler looks very satisfied with himself when he says maroon as well. He's like, I've got it. Yeah. I've got it over her.
Yeah. Is that your level, mate? Fair enough. So this all plays out. Joey has the dream, and then he thinks he's in love with Monica, and then he confesses it to Monica and Chandler in a sort of strange, this would be very awkward in real life scene.
Yeah.
Like, you're standing there, not just with your mate. Maybe you just told Chandler.
Or like, Monica.
Or just either of them, yeah. But the both fact that together.
Chandler was very cool about it.
Yeah.
Like, mate came in and said to my wife, Alana, and said, I had a dream where I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
I'd have gone, this is weird. Like, what?
What are you doing?
Yeah,
what
maybe you've kept that to yourself. But the thing is with Joey, he's sort of like Mr. Bean.
Right.
Like, it's okay for Joey to go, hey guys, I had a dream about you. Like, it's kind of, it seems to be fine.
Well, it is almost like a child, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a five-year-old's gone, I think I'm in love with Monica, and they've gone, okay, Joey, let's talk you through this.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not really love. You just saw her boobie or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Chandler and Monica then advise Joey. They're like, you're not in love with Monica. You just want the closeness.
Yeah, you're jealous of that and you want that.
You want that.
Yeah.
And then their rationale following on from that is, I think it's because we were friends first. So, and they basically then advise Joey to go and try and get together with his friends.
Yeah.
Of which, female-wise, he has two.
Yeah.
And they're all in the same group.
Yeah.
Terrible advice.
I know.
Awful.
And also, I don't see... It's sort of luck, really.
Right.
If you fall in love with your friend.
Yeah.
And the chances of that working in real life are probably quite small.
Very small, yeah.
Because you're not going to be friends for years and then suddenly go... I mean, I'm sure it does happen.
Right.
But, like, I reckon that's probably a small minority of people.
Very small. Of all my friends, I imagine that they either have been together for years because they met first and they were together, or I can't really think of anyone.
Because how do you go from non-romantic to romantic? Sorry, Pete.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, because he kind of assumes that you can sort of conjure romance out of a completely normal friendship. Like, he defaults to thinking, I can turn a standard friendship into love, and it is not that straightforward.
He does think like Mr. B, crossed with Baldrick
from
Blackadder. Like, in this sort of, like, this will work.
Yeah,
like,
there
was never going to happen.
No.
And then isn't there an episode where Rachel falls in love with Joey?
Yeah, well, this is the thing that wound me up.
Rachel and Joey.
Because Rachel stands, when Joey sort of propositions Rachel, she sort of she bats him off, doesn't she, and says, hey, no, I don't think that's quite right. And I was thinking, where was this Rachel approach to Joey a few series later? That's what we needed in like series 9 for her to just shut it off, and she doesn't.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea, terrible advice. Anyway, Joey goes out and has a threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great end to a sort of daytime TV.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that moment. I was like, oh, damn you, Joey. Yeah.
You've just gone.
Absolutely.
Well, it didn't
fine.
Work. In many ways, it's worked out very well.
Yeah,
for Joey.
Totally.
Great advice to Monica and Jana.
I'm Mark Haynes, and for the last 32 years, I've been a fan of professional wrestling. My friend Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, he hasn't. But in our podcast, Wrestle Me, the two of us subject the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment, WrestleMania, to the kind of rigorous scrutiny that ruins it entirely. GQ called Wrestle Me enrapturing. Shortlist said it's beautiful. And it's a hit with common people too, with well over 400 five-star reviews on iTunes. Wrestle Me, available from all good podcast providers.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, let's talk about the cop.
Yes.
So this is the first appearance of Gary.
Yeah.
So we've actually talked about, haven't we, Pete?
We have,
the last
yeah.
appearance of Gary.
When he shoots the bird.
Where he shoots the bird.
Oh, yes.
They wake up, he shoots the bird, and it's over. And that is in the one with the ball.
Where how many episodes is he in, Gary?
4.
Is he?
Yeah, that's it. He's quite a... He's a character that I remember more yeah. than I should for 4 eps.
He's quite good looking and quite sort of New Yorkerian cool, isn't he?
It's a strange one, and we never quite figured this out at the time, because he's all of those things. He's likable.
Yeah.
He's charming.
Yeah.
Like, you warm to him straight away.
He seems to really like Phoebe's quirkiness as well, doesn't he? Like,
right.
He sees that as a bit of a positive trait in her as well.
Yeah, and in that time when they're trying to move in together, he's very good and patient with her, and it's almost like they wrote themselves into a hole where he was too good.
Yeah.
So he just had to shoot a bird because it was like...
Make him a psycho.
We like him too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it was a very strange left turn.
Right,
after,
After
3¾ episodes of him being great.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, well, his contract's up, so shoot a bird.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Well, I do think it's weird that he fell for Phoebe, though, in this episode. Because she's pretending to be a cop with his badge for a laugh.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's my badge.
Yeah.
Gets it back and then goes and asks her out. Like, he's attracted to the fact that she was doing that.
Yeah.
And then she ran off. I mean, like, that's weird.
It doesn't line up on any level, does it? Because it's very strange. And then also, even if he is a bit attracted to her, it's very unprofessional.
Yeah.
Like, very unprofessional.
He looked through her DNA.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Her fingerprints.
Yeah.
The guy says the signs were there.
Yeah, it's really strange, isn't it? It's a really strange sequence. And he basically meets this girl, like you say. She behaves madly.
Yeah.
She's nicked his badge and is going around impersonating a police officer, which is not good. Then he runs her prints and also finds that
she's weird.
She's mad and she's done mad stuff in the past. And then he goes, do you know what? it's probably okay if I don't arrest you. Like, how's he cleared that back at the station?
Do you know what I mean? And also, when was the conversation when he said, hey, I'm not going to arrest her, but I'm going to ask her out? Yeah. And they're like, you go, Gary. Yeah. Tell her what you like. Like, I can't believe that's gone through his mind. And also, it's like, we know Phoebe.
Yeah.
So we're fine with it. We're right. like, kooky Phoebe.
Right.
She's cool.
We've had 5 years to get used to it by
here. Exactly. Yeah. He's never met her.
Perhaps they're quite a good match, though, because she obviously takes his badge and that's unethical. But then the way that he manages to identify where she lives is also very questionable in terms of police ethics. So they're a good match. They're both breaking the law in some form.
Basically, Gary's a terrible cop.
Yeah.
That's what we've decided.
Yeah. And a horrible car. Yeah. A brown Ford. I mean, it's worse than
maroon? Yeah.
But like, oh my God, it's what a horrible car and terribly parked. Oh,
the parking really riled me. He's right on the curb.
I love like, that, because that's in the studio, right? So they've obviously gone, hey guys, we move the car in. And they're like, does this look okay? Yeah. It'll do. Bring the bar.
It is so funny that they tried to squeeze this massive car into the smallest set in the world.
Yeah.
We rarely like go outside Central Perk.
Yeah.
The terrible parking is why Phoebe first strikes at conversation with him, isn't it? And he's like, no, it's fine, meaning because I'm police. It's like, no, you still part like an absolute dick.
Yeah. It'd be fine if he'd sort of come in and gone, and that is where it finished. Yeah. That's one of my best impressions.
I really like that.
Yeah, but like, yeah, exactly. He's not pursuing someone. And we don't even know what he's doing. Probably going to look for his badge.
So the thing I like to think about is this, is the opposite side, right? What's Gary's story, right?
Yes.
Gary's day is, he's lost his badge, right? Yeah. So he's probably spent half a day paid just driving around New York, retracing his steps. Yeah. Then he finds it.
Full of coffee.
Full of coffee. Yeah. Then he finds it and spends the rest of his working day paid by the city tracking down this woman and then asking her on a date.
Gary should be fired.
Gary.
He also asks her on a date and then says, I'll come back in 2 hours. So what's he going to go and do for 2 hours? Also, I don't get the donut joke.
Right. Now, the donut jokes, the cop donut jokes in Friends, they pop up 2 or 3 times.
Do they?
Yeah, across the
thing. It's just playing on sort of lazy policeman stereotyping, like The Simpsons does it as well, doesn't it, with old Wiggum? He loves
it. Right. It must just be an American stereotype that we have no idea about. Cops like donuts.
Yes.
That's all. But that entire scene, actually, for me, there's the cops and donuts, and then there's an entire conversation about Sipowicz.
Yes.
And NYPD Blue, which I have no idea.
Oh, is that what he's from, NYPD Blue?
Yeah. I obviously looked into this because, you know, this is what we do in this podcast.
Mate, his research has gone in.
Drag out all the pointless details. But yeah, so Sipowicz was a character in NYPD Blue, and his partner in that was an actor who previously played a child in the sitcom Silver Spoons.
Right.
So that's where all of that ties in. But that whole scene, it could have been, might as well have been in French.
Yeah.
Because I was just going... I
always quite like that, though. It's like in Family Guy and stuff, and you get all these things. There's clearly a reference to something that, you know, if it was over here, it'd be like someone from The Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reg Hollis,
exactly. But like, I always quite like, I'm like, oh, there's a little American joke that I didn't get.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But this was like half a scene.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was too busy worrying about the brown car
and the donuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, the donuts thing, I've never quite clicked with that. But I just presume cops like donuts. That's the stereotype. Because Chandler. It's referenced like 3 times in the episode, isn't it?
But Chandler's laugh at it really made me laugh.
Yeah.
At the end. He's so good.
He's so
that performance of, I'm going to get this, and then he's got a gun, that's why I'm laughing. It's really funny.
He's got a gun.
Yeah.
During this sequence, Phoebe's going rogue and she's pulling up people with her badge.
Mm-hmm.
Does this is quite a niche trivia fact, but the woman she stops is Margaret from the West Wing. Has anyone watched The West Wing?
No, I wouldn't have spotted that.
Yeah, that's a fucking shambles.
It's Sipowicz.
It's Sipowicz from The West Wing.
She plays Sipowicz in The West Wing.
All right, well, this is literally just for people listening then. You two can just, you know.
Hang on, though. Was that a noticeable cameo at the time? Like, was she famous at that point and therefore she's in there intentionally as a cameo?
Good question.
Is that pre-West Wing, therefore she's just an actress playing a small part?
This was about the same time as The West Wing, wasn't it? So this would have been 99, which is, I think, the year The West Wing started. So maybe not. No, maybe it's just prior.
Maybe this is what helped her get the West Wing.
Maybe they saw her.
Excellent cigarette smoking.
Yeah. But yeah, Margaret from The West Wing, guys. Anyone's interested? In an episode of Friends?
Has Gary been in anything else?
Hang on. I'm Googling.
Google time.
Michael Rappaport.
Irish descent.
This claims he's in Prison Break.
Yes, he's in Prison Break. That's it.
Is that where you know him from?
Yeah.
I've never watched Prison Break.
It's really good.
There you go.
Who does he play in Prison Break? He plays a cop in that as well, I think, doesn't he?
He is now in a Netflix coming-of-age television series called Atypical.
He plays a character called Don Self in Prison Break for 22 episodes. So he's in it for quite a while. Let's find out. Don, Agent Don Self from the Department of Homeland Security in season 4.
Yes.
I mean, I've never watched Prison Break. My understanding is they break out of the prison at the end of season 1.
Yeah.
So season 4, like...
It's
where the hell are they?
Shit. By then. But season 2 is really good. The sort of on the run series.
I can imagine. Yeah.
That's good.
In my head, I can like sort of plan out a story arc once they're out of prison.
But then 3, there's a writer's strike. So it's one of those 13 episodes.
So they've run out of ideas and there's no writers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry. The season isn't about the writer's strike. Yeah. So they're in some prison in like Panama or something.
Right.
And then the fourth one, I think I got bored of the fourth one. And I think a fifth one's come out now. I think they've just done a fifth one.
It came back, didn't it? Many years on.
Yeah.
Interestingly, oh, here's a good fact. Michael Rapaport was in an episode of NYPD Blue with David Schwimmer.
Oh.
That's good, isn't it?
That's a very good. Did he come into contact with Sipowicz?
I imagine. Probably I could only imagine he did.
And Reg Hollis. Yeah, amazing.
I'd love an episode of... I mean, I've never seen a single episode of NYPD Blue.
Nor have I.
But I can only imagine what it's like, and therefore what it'd be like if Reg Hollis turned up.
Is it like The Bill for America?
I imagine it's like a predecessor to like CSI, you know?
Right.
In my head.
Yeah. It's quite... When she says she's a whore, did you not... I sort of... winced at that. Is that 2019 making me wince at that?
Yeah, there's a lot of strange... Well, on two levels. A, I think it's 2019 making you go, I don't think they'd say that and they wouldn't write that in. No, yeah. But also, this is a very mainstream sitcom and there's a lot of like... Just casual
whore.
References to things like
it's
hookers and whore. Yeah, exactly.
Whore, it's so dirty. But maybe it was different. These times.
These times. Right, onto the couch.
Yes.
This is the, like we say, this is the memorable, probably the most memorable, one of the most memorable scenes of Friends.
Yeah.
The pivot thing.
That's like why I was surprised it not been picked
if
already.
If you haven't seen Friends, you know Pivot.
Yeah.
And you know the bit. But yeah, it's literally a 1.5 minute scene, 17 minutes in.
It's sort of the American version of To Me, To You, isn't it?
I mean...
A precursor.
Yeah, it almost certainly is.
I think it says a lot about quite how good these short scenes are as well, because like we've said, it is the thing that you remember about this episode. It is one of the probably top 5-10 things anyone remembers about Friends overall as well. And yet it's really not that much of this episode at all.
There's another phrase that Ross uses in this storyline, which I quite often say, which is when he's on the couch in the showroom at the start, they're come here to me.
Yeah.
And I say that as a joke to my girlfriend all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's one that's really made its way into my lexicon.
Lucky Rachel.
On both counts.
On both counts. Yeah.
Yes, that's true, Oh, is that why you use it? Or is that not at all?
It isn't, but it will be why I use it more from now on.
Yeah, it's like I did think that was good. I was sort of learning where Ross and Rachel's relationship was.
Yeah,
because I didn't know from series. And
sure.
At the beginning, you're like, oh, okay, they're not together, but they have been together.
Right.
This is before Emma.
Yes, it's the most fun about of dipping into episodes randomly, like we do on this podcast, is going, who's with who?
What's happened
so far? Because you have
Monica
no idea.
Monica and Chandler are quite new.
Yes. But everyone knows.
Yes.
So I think that's sort of phase two.
Right, okay.
The nice thing about Ross and Rachel interaction this episode is that, well, after they break up, there's always a lot of animosity, even if it's sort of lighthearted. In this one, they are behaving like you could have plucked any two friends from the six and given them a little plot together. And that's what this feels like. This feels like they are friends rather than bitter exes.
Yes, exactly. And they work well together and they're sort of back on the straight and narrow.
It's quite a personal thing to go and help someone with, isn't it? A sofa, buying a sofa?
The whole buying the sofa experience is astonishing. Have you ever bought a sofa?
Do you know what? I got given a sofa from Tom Parry. Has he
the
done
comedian?
Yeah. Has he done this podcast?
He hasn't, no, but he will now.
He will.
I want to hear the other side of this story.
Where he gave me a sofa because he was moving out from his flat and he said, you know, you can have this sofa for free. And so I had a man paid £30 to come and deliver this sofa to me. The sofa turned up and I couldn't get it through the door. So it's very similar to this episode.
Did you?
Yeah. So I asked my wife, Alana, and we had to then remove everything down the sort of like a side passage, which is outside that leads through to the garden. It's right. sounding a lot more glamorous than it is. Right, so we removed everything like that, got the sofa down there, and then tried to get it through sort of the back doors,
yeah.
through like to the lounge that
patio
way.
Patio doors type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but couldn't do that either.
It's too big for too a big. Double door.
Yeah, because it's the corridor. I got it through that door, but then the corridor leading through to my flat, too small. And I did pivot, and it didn't work.
Oh, mate. So what happened to the sofa?
The sofa got the council came and picked it up. I had to ring the council and like I left it out at the front of the house, and the council had to come and pick it up.
That is so sad.
And I even like asked my godparents, are builders, and I said, can you come around and see if I can might better because I found on online you can remove window bays,
right.
And I was like, oh, remove the window,
just
mate.
Take the couch in through the window.
Exactly. And they had a look and they were like, it is going to cost you about £1,000 to do this.
Do you know
this.
What you can buy for that? A sofa. Yeah. A really nice sofa. Yeah, so,
and actually, to the end of the story, it's a lovely ending, is my godparent's son, Nicholas, who's a good friend of mine, he had an old sofa that I could have, which is nicer than Tom's sofa.
So, screw Parry's sofa,
so
mate.
Screw Parry's sofa.
Did you ever tell Tom what happened to the sofa?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
I think I rang him crying.
Went to the council.
Yeah, it was quite a vital moment in my relationship because my wife was not happy with me when she had to take a day off to try and get this sofa. And then at one point she said, well, why don't we just make the bedroom the lounge? Because we get the sofa, because the bedroom's at the back of the flat.
Right, so we could get it in there. So we nearly swapped.
We nearly swapped the bedroom.
Why didn't you?
Because, I don't know, a front door opening into the bedroom. That's weird, isn't it? So I've been through it, Ross.
Oh, mate, you've had literally the Ross experience.
I have, yeah.
Well, so pre-pivot, right? So this is the bit that caught my eye. He's in the sofa showroom. He just signs a thing. I'm not sure how he pays.
No.
Just signed a bit of paper.
Yeah.
And then, crucially, just picked up the one in the showroom.
Yes.
Is that how it works?
I think it probably did. In the late 90s.
In the 90s. I've only ever bought one sofa in my life when I moved into my current flat. No, Sofa Workshop, actually, mate.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Lovely.
Which is currently sponsoring something on E4 or Channel 4, because I see it all the time.
Gogglebox.
Gogglebox, correct.
Good knowledge.
Yeah, that is great knowledge of who's Sofa
and
Workshop.
Isn't it like some sloth?
It's like a little animal on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a sloth on a sofa.
Do you know what? A, I can really recommend it.
Yeah.
Sofa Workshop. It's a great ruddy sofa. But B, when I did the same thing, I bought it, but then I gave a card over, like is tradition, to pay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they delivered it 6 weeks later, because they make it. So you like sit on the showroom one,
yeah.
And then they build you an actual sofa.
6 weeks is quite a long time, isn't it?
It's so long, mate. It was absolute shambles. And actually, it's quite friends related, because this is when I just moved in, and me and my then flatmate Simon only had two chairs, which we set out in the living room.
Did you sit in a canoe boat?
Like it was like we were Joey and Chandler. So I just, when Ross just signed the thing, gave the man the clipboard, and picked up the sofa, I thought, this is not how sofa shops work.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Rachel comes round to the flat and asks for a tape measure.
Oh, yeah.
Presuming to help measure to see if they could get the sofa up.
Yeah.
I've been through that. Did you measure it up before you went?
Because I also live in an apartment building, so I have to measure the lift as well.
Oh, you thought ahead.
A huge number of measurings.
But then she asks for a tape measure, and then Monica goes, they say it's in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to presume that Chandler's been measuring his penis? Venus with Monica?
Yeah. Like it was an accident.
That doesn't happen, does
it's
it?
It's that little giggle that they do between them where that's where you get the suggestion that it was used for that fun, isn't it? It's
a fun little game.
When you really extrapolate what has to happen in that situation, because you don't just measure it as is, so you have to be in the midst of...
Also... Tape measure? Like, come on, Charlotte, it's not that big. You don't need all that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Get a ruler, lad. Yeah, 6 incher.
I don't think I've measured my penis since I was about
like 15.
14.
Yeah, exactly. That's the era which you do it, and it's very much in the privacy of your own home, isn't
8
it?
8 inches.
Yeah. Is this the reason you've come on this podcast?
Yeah, yes, finally. I'm the new Joel Dommett. I want you all to know that it was 8 inches.
This is the audio version of Joel's video.
And that was at 14, so who knows? Who knows where length it's
probably doubled in the last 14 years.
I think that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's growing, right?
Every year.
Yeah. Get to like your ears.
But very strange. They must have been in the middle of sex when they've stopped. Chandler's had to maintain an erection whilst Monica gets the tape measure, I presume, or maybe he goes out, fully erect. It's a very, just a very
you'd
strange
scene.
You'd
send her out to go.
Yeah, I think you'd have to,
because you'd be
you?
Losing that erection on the way through the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a very strange sequence. But there you go, they've done that. But interestingly, Rachel brings the tape measure back. I noticed this as well. No measuring takes place.
No.
They just both, all three of them, then just pick up the sofa.
She's got some rope, though. She's doing it with the rope.
She's got four things. She's got a pair of gardening gloves, a bit of rope, a tape measure, and...
A hammer.
A hammer. What is she doing?
To smash Ross over the head, presumably.
But I mean, a hammer, what is that for? To literally smash the walls down so they can move the sofa up.
And he saws it in half.
Oh, well, right. Now, here is really a really interesting point, and this is probably the only thing anyone will take away from this episode and tell their friends. There is a deleted scene.
Oh.
No.
There is a deleted scene in this, and it's on certain DVD versions.
This is big knowledge.
Ross, Chandler, and Rachel are moving the couch. They can't, obviously, and they're pervert, and they're stuck. And Rachel accidentally pulls the fire alarm, at which point everyone in the building runs down the stairs in the process, breaking the couch.
Oh.
That's how the couch gets
broken.
I
did think, just when they were about to pivot, I was like, oh, he's very close to that fire alarm, because there is a box on the wall behind them.
Right.
So I can see how easily that would be incorporated in the plot.
But it didn't make it to the 22-minute cut.
Well, it didn't. And it's always a bit riling when at the end the couch is just in half, because you're like... We'd have never got to this point.
Yeah, and it would have been fun to see that.
Yeah.
Him soaring it in half.
Right.
But they just break it in half.
Yeah, they're just...
Very neatly.
They basically trample. Yeah, they all trample along the exact same line.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, and trample.
That's so interesting.
It's good, isn't it? That is a good fact.
That is a lovely fact.
I don't expect people to go away and regale parts of this podcast very often, but I think I would tell my friends that if I heard on a podcast.
Can I just refer back to the Joey Monica thing?
Yes.
There's at one point when he's leaning on the cooker... After she's been cooking a sauce, he's leaning way too close to the flame.
Oh, mate.
I was really worried that he was going to go up. Did you notice
that?
Yeah,
health and safety all out the window.
He was full on leaning next to it.
Yeah.
Like, that can get cut out. I just noticed that.
No, we will leave that in.
Okay,
that's the last thing we're going to discuss of the plot before we do the quiz. So there you go. Joey's health and safety in cooking.
Well, yeah.
Should we do the quiz, Pete?
Yes, it's time.
Okay. Five questions, Luke.
Okay.
These are the little bits of detail that you may or may not have logged.
Oh, I'm really competitive.
As you go. Okay. You're really competitive. Yeah. Okay. Well, do you know what? We've already referenced at least one
of
them.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned a couple of things, so we might have to tailor our questions here.
So these are questions we prepared before. We've discussed, obviously, things.
Right,
so
right.
We don't know which bits which you're going to refer to or not. But, you know, so this one, the first one that Pete's going to ask you, you know, so it's an easy gimme.
You're guaranteed a point, question
this
one.
This is like the first £1,000 questions in Who Wants to Be a
exactly,
Millionaire.
Exactly.
We all know.
We'll rattle
we
our way
the Battle
it.
Of Hastings, not the Vicious Chicken of Bristol.
Okay. Unless you somehow forgot since we first mentioned it, but in which case.
Yeah, that
could have happened.
Right. Question one. What does Phoebe say she's undercover as when she first meets Gary?
A whore.
I just wanted to say that word again.
Yeah. It's pity she's a whore. Isn't it like she's a... Is she just an undercover whore?
Yeah. She doesn't explain why she's an undercover whore.
Yeah, it wasn't anything more specific than just a whore.
No, it was just a whore, yeah. And it's interesting that...
It's
just...
funny when you say it. She was just a whore.
She was just a whore, mate.
Okay, good.
But where was she doing her undercover whoring? Not at night, not in the red light district. No. Outside a mainstream coffee shop at about 2 p.m. Absolutely where you do it.
I don't know if anyone's going there looking for whores, to be honest. Fair enough, though.
There are no
she
friends.
She was thinking on her feet. Yeah. Let her off.
In the 10 years we've all watched Friends, no one's ever accidentally come to Central Perk in search of a prostitute.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, they'll have a coffee instead.
Yeah. No hookers. All right. Yeah. That's a latte. There is a bonus question for this one, Luke, though, based on the same conversation, which is much harder. What number is the fake precinct Phoebe gives to Gary that she says she works in?
So this is a bonus, not
this is a bonus. This is a bonus. Yeah.
57.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Yes.
He's got the bonus. That is impressive.
Come on. And she works in Vice.
Yeah, she does.
Which I don't know what that is.
No.
But she said she works in Vice.
She's not in Homicide with Zipper, is she?
No. She works in Vice. What is Vice?
Vice? The Vice President's Office. I don't know. Vice Police Department. It feels like something, it'll be a word for something we have, isn't it?
But yeah.
No, I've got it. Yeah, the vice section concentrates on the enforcement of vice activities. So activities that are a vice. You know how you have habits, such as gaming, gambling, bookmaking, pornography, and prostitution. So do you know what? She's tied in whoring with vice, and we can all.
And also, is gaming illegal?
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
We found this guy playing FIFA. Send him down.
It was the undercover whore that got him. Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Do you know what? We've learned a lot today.
We have.
We've learned a lot
of Americanisms.
Question two, Luke. Name Phoebe's friend who has been the 11th most wanted criminal for, in inverted commas, forever.
Oh, I don't know.
Tough one, isn't it? It's a real tough one.
I don't know. I've got two names in my head.
Give them both. We'll give you a...
One's Elaine, but I think that's because I've been watching Seinfeld. And the other one's Judith?
No, it's Fritzy. You were never going to get that.
Fritzel?
Went up
that would have been good.
Rocketed from 11th most wanted.
Yeah,
didn't
he? Exactly. Yeah, fucking hell, Fritzy.
Fritzy.
Wonder
yeah.
what she'd done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Question three: what's the name of the sofa shop where Ross buys his new couch?
Oh man, these are good.
An extra mark is awarded if you can remember their motto, which is just as visible as their name.
No, yeah,
it's really on the back wall. It says the name and
oh,
then the
oh yeah, I can
motto.
See it now. I think the word sofa's in it.
Couch.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see the sign, but I don't know.
Well, Ross
couldn't even hazard a guess.
Ross shops at the Couch Emporium, and their motto is quality and comfort.
That's such the name. You go, all right, we've got to come up with a name for a sofa shop. The Couch Emporium. It's
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Question.
You don't think an emporium is where you get sofa
no,
stuff.
I wouldn't. There but there you go.
You, know, you might you'd buy like. Potions.
It's like a bazaar. Yeah, that's how I imagine an emporium.
An apothecary.
Yes.
That's a great word.
I love apothecary.
Yeah.
Question four.
Okay.
How many times have Ross and Rachel had sex, according to Ross?
298.
Yes.
He's got it.
Yes. Come on.
Bang on.
That's good.
That is good.
That's a funny gag, that.
That's great.
That he remembers how many times. Yes.
There was, when I was reading up on this episode, there's a lot of... absolute like hyper nerd
oh really
things about this, because there's an episode in Vegas where they don't remember if they had sex or not. There's loads of people
really?
On forums going like, well, what if they count the Vegas
oh,
one
amazing.
And what if they don't
amazing.
That's even but sadder than Ross keeping count.
Yeah, it is.
Astonishing,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
but then if you take the 298, we see them have sex twice more in the series, once when
Look
they have the
that.
baby, and once where
a nice
just
round
before.
300.
Nice 300, yeah.
That's great.
That's what they started out. Start of series one, they're like, these guys got to have sex 300 times
by
season 10.
Let's get it done. yeah. Okay.
Final question.
Okay.
How much store credit does Ross accept for his couch? Said by a wonderfully wonderfully dry couch emporium employee.
Do you know what? I'm annoyed that I don't remember this, and it's mainly because I was noticing more at the... scene going over the credits at the end and going, oh, that's interesting that this goes all the way to the end of, you know, which isn't interesting.
Yeah,
and
it is.
Hence why I've missed this bit.
Have you?
That and really sad, I saw the store credits right at the end, isn't it? I don't
it's
know.
It's literally the last
50%. I don't know.
No.
He gets a whole $4 for it.
It's a good
gag. Which for a sofa that's been cut in half is still quite generous, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love no one stopped him as he was bringing in that sofa.
Also, Rachel's not with him, so are we led to believe that he's gone back and done two trips?
Under both arms. It's true, yeah.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she, the actor at the end? She is also in Scrubs.
Oh.
She plays, yeah, who's the nurse that dies in Scrubs? It's a very sad episode. I'll find the name. This is the last thing we're going to talk about. Laverne. She plays Laverne in Scrubs.
Yeah, she's very good.
Very good. I give you store credit the amount of $4. That's what she says.
Yeah, very good. And what does he say? I will take it. Yeah, it's good.
Luke Kevner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we bought everyone to death. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
mate.
I genuinely feel like today we have laughed and learned.
Yeah.
Which is a real...
That's what life's about.
Great outcome for this
podcast.
Yeah,
it's great.
Normally we do at least one, sometimes neither. So it's a real thrill. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Bye now. Oh, hello. We're still here. That was nice, wasn't it? Next week on Friends of Friends is the wonderful presenter and DJ, Ariel Free. Hey, Ariel.
Hi, am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah, you can talk now. Yeah, yeah. This is the first thing they're going to hear. So this is a reference to what happened on the actual podcast, which will be out next week.
Uh-huh.
So it's but we're really meta. We're playing with the form here.
Mm.
Tell everyone which episode you've chosen so they can go away and watch it.
Well, we talk about the one where Monica goes in a robot. Nah, I'm only joking. We talk about the one where Phoebe's uterus. Phoebe's uterus.
The one with Phoebe's uterus.
Phoebe's uterus. It's obviously. Come on.
The one with Phoebe's uterus. Season 4, episode 11. Go. Watch. And then...
7!
Download the podcast next week. And we'll talk all about it.
And then you'll get the reference to Len Giveman 7. Finally, after all these years.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.